So tonight I just wanted to talk to you guys about knowing, accepting, and believing the love of God. And I know what you're thinking. I already know about the love of God. Bailey, no need to tell me about it. But I think sometimes we know it, but we don't fully believe it. And so I think most of us would say, yes, like I know I am loved, but if we honestly examine our hearts, do we truly believe that we are loved? Do we truly believe that we are loved by the Father? And I think our answer could be different. And at times in my life, sometimes my answer isn't always yes. I don't always believe I'm loved at every moment. And I don't say that to bring shame to me or to any of you guys, but to examine our beliefs and to bring truth to those beliefs. Because the truth sets us free to see the Father as loving and ourselves as loved. I think sometimes when we go through life, people are so important around us, but sometimes people who love the Lord don't always show good examples of love. And so I think we begin to let people, our fathers, our mothers, our husbands, not my husband, just represent the Lord in a wrong way, and we begin to project those people's faces on the Lord's face. And so I just want to begin talking about the nature of his love, and I have a scripture. If you want to turn to 1 John 4:10, let me get there. Okay, this is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. And I love how it says, he loved us long before we loved him. The Father loved us first, before we could even love him. And he sent Jesus because of his love. And I think, how could Jesus not love something he was willing to become himself? And I think that's so beautiful that, you know, I think over time it's just, you know, humans, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's so, you know, humanity is bad. Like, but Jesus himself would become one of us. I think that is so beautiful. And it's in his nature to love. And we as people were formed and made in love. I think back to the garden and I don't think God just made people because he was bored, but there was an intention in the making. There was love in the making. I think even Noah and I, we love each other, and Benjamin is a product of our love. And God didn't need us, but he wanted us, and he created us because he loved us. The word love is so simple but so complex. It's just four letters, but it means so much, and it can make or break your life. And it's so easy to say but so hard to follow through with sometimes. But the Father models this love so beautifully. He is the person that just makes love so beautiful. There's never a moment when his love changes. From the beginning of time till now, he's never wavered. There's nothing anyone has ever done to take away his love. We are not powerful enough to diminish his love for us. His love is not moved by our failures or by our emotions, but it's so steady and strong. The Holy Spirit gave me this picture. The Holy Spirit kind of speaks to me in pictures and examples, and so I was thinking about what I was going to speak about, and I had a whole nother topic, but I was in the car just driving, and I felt like the Lord gave me this picture of a really, really big, beautiful tree. And the tree had so many ripe pieces of fruit on it. It was apples. I don't know why. It's always apples on a tree. In the garden, it was an apple on the tree, but it's apples. And under the ground, I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, don't look here, but look underneath. And I felt like he showed me this picture of these big, strong roots that were connected to the tree. And the tree represented God, and the roots were his love. And the fruit represented his faithfulness, kindness, grace, etc. And everything the Father is stems from his love. He is faithful to us because he loves us. He is kind because he loves us. It's just who he is. And I felt like the Lord, you know, I feel like us as people, it's like, well, I'll grab a piece of his faithfulness. I'll grab a piece of his kindness. I'll grab a piece of his grace. But it's, we have to remember that all of those things just stem from his love. And I think as weird as it is, and I found myself doing the same thing years ago of like, I know you can forgive me for this, but you'll be forever disappointed in me and you won't love me anymore. But it's so crazy when those, that characteristic of forgiveness and being so faithful to us, even when we do things we wish we didn't, is so just connected to his love. Because it's just everything he is stems from his love. And I feel like the Holy Spirit asked me this question. Are you rooting yourself in his love? Are we rooting ourselves in his love? Are our roots fragile and lacking with the belief that we are loved? Are they lacking nutrients? Are they not, are they small? Are they not like completely in the ground? I felt like he just asked me, can someone hit your tree with an axe to cause your tree to fall over and expose your roots because you aren't completely grounded in his love? I think so many situations in this life, it's so easy to choose not to love. It's so easy to not believe we are loved. This is a funny example, but Noah and I have been watching all of the Planet of the Apes movies because we just watched the new one that came out. And I feel like with any movie you can do this, but I feel like the Lord just speaks to me so much by examples and the examples in that movie. And the monkey Caesar, which is so funny, he just, like, even when hate came into his heart, he still continued to love, and he still continued to choose peace, even when there were other people influencing him to choose hate. No matter how many things the humans did to the monkeys, he thanks, Noah. He still continued to love the humans, you know? I think me and Noah were watching the movies, and we were like, screw humans, we don't care. Monkeys, you know? Like, I want to be a monkey. They're close enough to humans, right? But it was just so amazing to see him continue to choose love, no matter how he was left behind by humans, and no matter how other monkeys were telling him to choose hate, look what the humans did to us. But he kept saying, like, he saw a glimmer of hope in their hearts. And so I just feel like the Lord just was reminding me of just small things. You know, when Noah says something I don't like, do I continue to choose love? And it's so easy to say that you're loved or to love than to let your heart and mind believe it. And I say that from personal experience. I've grown so much. I think sometimes you have to look at yourself, and I, you know, there's so many other things the Lord is working me through, but I think you have to look at your life and realize how far you've come. I think that's so important to, I think it's important to examine yourself without shame, but to see how far you've come. And I used to have such a bad inner monologue in my head when I failed or didn't feel good enough. And I think even, you know, you date someone, you get engaged, you get married, and I had never experienced any of that before. Noah was really my first real boyfriend, and you have your heart on your sleeve. And, you know, I think you finally like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with this person. Like, they can actually hurt me. They can choose not to love me. But, and I just kept in my head, just, you know, are you good enough to be with him? Are you good enough to be a wife? Are you good enough to be a mom? I think in every season of life, there's always going to be a moment where you can think, am I good enough to do this? Can I do this? And the answer is yes. But I think Darlene talked about in Foundations, the pattern of thinking that you have, and you can just pave and pave and pave like this negative thought process, and it's harder to come out of that and go back into a positive mindset. And so it takes time of just repeating and repeating and repeating the complete opposite of the negative that you're speaking over yourself. But my brain would just go on tangents of thoughts that just made me feel worse and worse. I let myself create this narrative that God thought about me the way I thought about myself, which is so wrong. But I think, you know, I love churches that I've come from. You can't blame for what they thought was the truth, you know. I love my churches that I've been a part of before, but I think sometimes you just don't realize the information that your brain takes in, and your whole life is formed by what you hear, what you see, the examples that you see. And so I let myself just, my whole theology, my whole journey just be formed by shame for so long. And so that's all I knew. And I think I remember being a kid and dealing with things teenagers deal with. And I would let myself be so shamed and so shamed and so shamed. And it was just an ongoing process until a couple years ago that I feel like the Lord really set me free from it. And I still have to choose to not think about myself those ways. But when I was younger, it was just I was a goody two-shoes. So I think when in the oldest child, you know, you do something wrong and it's like, this is the end of the world. This is the end of my life. My parents are going to hate me. They're going to be so disappointed in me. And I think we project onto God who our parents are. And even though my parents weren't like that, the thoughts that I had about my parents, that they would be so disappointed in me, and they were figures in my life that were so important to me and so vital to my growth, that I think I just projected that on the Lord. And I think you always hear this statement that the Lord knows you better than you know yourself, you know. But what if the only way you know yourself is through a lens of self-hate? And so it's like, well, he knows me better than I know me, and the only way I know me is being a person that's not good enough. So I guess he knows that side of me more than I do. And so in those moments, it can really be hard to accept love when you have pushed it away for so long. I think sometimes the Lord can do anything he wants to do. So sometimes it's an automatic thing, but it is a process for most, I would say most people. And it has been for me. I think whether you're a man or a woman, you know, there's certain things in life that you go through, but obviously I'm a woman, so I can only speak from what I've been through. But I think in this culture, it's so like, you know, you need to look this way, or you need to do this way, or as a woman, you know, you're supposed to be, you need to be loud, you need to share your opinion, you need to whatever. Or it's the other way of like, you need to be gentle, you need to be sweet, you need to always wear dresses, you know, whatever it is. And so I just feel like there's so many things, again, that are just forming our brains, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. I feel like there's so many specific things that like target our hearts and our minds to start to think opposite of how the Lord wants us to think. And whether you choose to accept his love or not will form those beliefs in your life for the better or for the worst. And if you don't, it will cause you to see the Father and yourself in such a wrong way. And if you do, you'll be walking in the purpose you were created for, which is love, to know God, to love God, and believe you're also loved by God. I think that's what our whole life is about. And I think it makes our life better, even the parts that aren't spiritual or whatever. But I believe God is in everything. And so to know him, to love him, and to believe we are also loved by God is so, so, so important. Ephesians 3:18-19. It's the scripture that Angela read, but I'm going to read it again. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I'm just going to read that again. this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I think that scripture is so important, and a scripture that I've, in the past couple of days, just read over and over and over again. And I think that's something that's so important, is just repeating things, declarations over yourself. Like, sometimes it may be hard to write the things that you know the Lord thinks about you, because sometimes it's like, no, I don't feel like I'm kind always. I don't feel like I'm beautiful all the time. Just being honest, I think, you know, you just have a baby and it's like, I know I'm beautiful, but I definitely don't look how I used to look. And that's okay. But I think you're expected to be okay with it so fast. It's like, well, you have a beautiful baby, and that's so true. But I think it's a process of, not only does your body physically kind of not feel like your body anymore, you know, I think mentally you just have to, I have to repeat over myself, like, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. And Noah is so great. And, you know, people around you, the family that we have, letting people speak such good things over you, and not shying away from that, not disagreeing with that, but just saying yes. Like I think we are so scared of being confident sometimes, but like, we were created to be confident in who we are. It doesn't mean you have to be cocky or boastful, but you can love who you are. I think that's so important. And accepting His love for us and the amazing things that He has to say is one of the beginning points of our formation. His love is the very thing that forms us spiritually. I think sometimes it can be so complicated. It's just like, well, I need to know about this. I need to know about this, this theology, this big word. But I think sometimes we just need to go back to the basics of just love, because that's where it started. In the garden, it started with love. From the very beginning of our Bible, of our word, it started with love. It started with intentionality to create us. I think we have to go back to that. Because, again, His love is the very thing that forms us spiritually. I think, even myself, it's so easy to focus on where you want to be and not just... just know where you are and embrace where you are now, because it's not a race. We'll never arrive like Noah always talks about, but it's a journey. And if you're somewhere else, if Noah's somewhere that I'm not, that's okay. I want to fully be in the season that I'm in. Doesn't mean you shouldn't look for growth, but you should just be where you are. Because I think sometimes, and personally, I rattle off the things to the Lord of, I need to do this, I need to fix this, I need to do this. But the Lord's just like, hey, I just want to camp out right here. Like, I am in no rush. I think when He looks at us, like, He doesn't see us for who we are right now, but the fully formed version of us. So I think when He looks at us, He's like, I don't know what you're seeing. Like, I'm seeing you as fully who you are supposed to be. And if you could just look into my eyes and if you could see the reflection of who you are, I think we would be so much further than we are now. And I think, you know, as a family, we are all on a journey of being spiritually formed to know we are as righteous as God, which is amazing. But I think, you know, how can we believe we've been made completely righteous and holy if we don't believe the one who made us righteous loves us? I feel like we have to go back to the beginning of, like, okay, like, you love me, because how can I believe that you think I'm holy if I don't believe you love me? I think that's where a lot of us get tripped up, including myself. I hope that's not the case, but sometimes it is. And I think we have to just realize we are loved and that He has made us righteous and He has made us holy. But we just have to realize in that of, like, you love me, you love me, you love me. And His love is the start of all of that. His love is the beginning to all the fullness of everything else. That's what it says here, is just the extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. It doesn't say when you've studied your Bible a million hours, or when you've been on your knees praying for hours. Not that that's not important, but it just says when the extravagant love pours into you. And I love that we as people complicate things, but Jesus is so profound, but so simple in his words. And just his teachings are so tangible. It's just about his love. It's just about believing you are loved. And that is the fullness of God. Love is where it all began. It is why we were grafted into the family of God, because of his extravagant love. And I think that's so beautiful that, you know, Jesus came back for the Israelites, his people, the Jewish people, but we were grafted in because of his love and because of his compassion. Everything we believe is wrapped up in his love. The start of every piece of theology is rooted in his love, and I think that's so beautiful. It's all about, I could just repeat that scripture over and over again, the extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to the overflowing with the fullness of God. And I want to see the family of Be Love filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. I would love for myself, for all of us to walk in here and us truly, truly, truly believe we are loved. I think it changes your life. And I want to continue to say yes to love. I think it's so important. I think when I believe I'm loved, I will love my son better. When I believe I am loved, I will be a better wife. I'll be a better friend. And it's not about being better, but it's just knowing that life is better when you're loved. Knowing that we are so unbelievably loved by the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. That we not only feel his tangible love for ourselves, but when we're around other people, they feel the tangible, warm love of God. Like Noah was saying earlier, that it would just blanket over you. I just love that so much. And that people would feel it radiating from you. I can't tell you how many times I've been somewhere and I'm just checking out somewhere and the person just tells me their whole life story. I know you've heard that over and over again from people, but I just love that so much, that we carry something so special. We are so privileged to carry the love of God. And I think even me, like, thinking about it, I think we can just take that for granted so much, but his love is so important. And it's not just an emotion, it's not just a feeling, but it's a choice. It's a way of thinking. Love is a way of thinking. I think you don't have to be scared of the closeness and intimacy of his love. I think whenever I was younger, sometimes I'd be like, whoa, Pentecostal stuff, that's freaking me out. You know, like, I remember one time I was being prayed over, and this guy, you know, the classic pushy down, and I literally held onto his hand. I was like, you're not bringing me down. I am not going down. And I think sometimes it can just, I don't know why, but I've been told the same by other people of sometimes I think intimacy can scare people. I've heard someone say, into me see. There's such a closeness there, you know, with your husband or with someone you're super close with. It's like you see the best and the worst side of me, you know. But I think there's such a beauty in intimacy. I think there's such a need for intimacy. I think there's so many people in life just wandering around being lacking intimacy in their life. They're lonely. They're empty. I think it's so easy to go to so many other things when you just need one thing. You just need Jesus. And I know everybody's made that statement so cheesy, but it's just the truth. And so if anybody in here is just scared of closeness and intimacy, I just want to encourage you to not be. I think when we take a step, he comes in two more steps. I think in life, you just experience people who invite you into their circle, whether it's a friend or someone that you've been with, like a boyfriend or a husband, and they invite you in close just to push you away. And that can be hurtful and that can be scarring, but he isn't going to invite you close just to push you away. But he's going to continue to pull you closer and closer. And every time you push away, because we push away, sometimes it's not him, it's us. He will just continue and continue and continue to get closer and closer, because he never hides from us. There's a song Noah and I have been listening to. I can't even remember what it's called. I think it's called Hide and Seek. And it just talks about how we play hide and seek with God, but he just makes it so easy for us. He's like a little kid that's hiding behind the TV and you can see their legs. He's like, I want you to find me. And he doesn't have a timeline for your journey with him. When you decide that you're ready for intimacy, he will be there. When you decide that you're ready to fall deep in love with him, he will be there with his arms wide, wearing a big smile. I just felt like as I wrote that out, I just saw him just with his arms wide and a smile on his face, because he loves you. He loves you. When Noah and I were dating and I was just going through my own insecure things, he just played this prophetic word over me by Graham Cook, I think. And it just repeated over and over again. I just encourage you to go home and listen to it. But it just says, he loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. And it stitched up pieces in my heart that I had torn. And I just think it was so beautiful. So I just encourage you to go home whenever you find time to just listen to that. The more you let him love you, the more you will love yourself, because he sees you as someone worth loving. And it is hard to love yourself sometimes, but I think if you just have that belief that he loves you, it becomes easier, because God is someone who is so amazing, who is involved in so many people's lives. Obviously, he's an amazing father, and it's like, well, if you're amazing, then you must think I'm amazing. And I have to believe that I'm worth loving because you love me. You guys can stand. I know that wasn't super long. But I just wanted to be vulnerable and just share what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. There is a bridge to a song that I love by Bethel. The song's called I Love Your Presence. And it says, if you want it, come and get it, for crying out loud. Because this love that he has given you was never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and feel it now. And I just felt like the Lord, I was back there praying, and I just felt like the Lord just kept repeating that bridge, repeating that bridge, repeating that bridge. If you want it, come and get it, for crying out loud. Because this love that he has given you was never in doubt. Let go of your heart, let go of your head, and feel it now. So I just want to invite you to just open your heart and open your hands to him, open your mind to him, to just let go of your heart and let go of your head. I just want to encourage you tonight, if this is all you get from what I said, you forget everything and this is all you remember, is I just want to encourage you to fully let yourself be loved by him. It's what you were made for. It's what you were made for. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Just let that soak into your heart tonight. To all the pieces of your heart that have been broken in the past, he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. I just pray tonight that a bucket of love would just be poured over you from your head to your toes. His love would just sink so deep into your skin. I just thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that we would leave here tonight just reminded by your powerful love, your powerful love. That we would just let your love continue to just sink in. We would let your love in. We would let the light of your love in into the dark parts of our hearts, where we put up a lock and key and said, no one can come in. But tonight, Jesus, I just pray that you would just begin to knock on those doors, that we would all just invite intimacy in, that we would invite you into those places, those dark rooms that are full of dust and not full of life, but you would just come into those places and you would just fill it with the love. You would just fill it with your love, that the light of your love would just come rushing into those rooms. And in those rooms would just be a table and two chairs where you and your people just meet. That they would meet with you, that we would meet with you in our own time. That it would just be the two of us. That we don't have to be scared for it just to be us. But we can look forward to the closeness. We can look forward to the closeness of the Father. He's not your earthly father. He's not your mother. He's not your friend that hurt you. But he is such a loving father. He's such a loving father. We just thank you tonight for who you are, God. That you're a good father, that you're a loving father. I pray that we would just look into your eyes tonight and just see you for who you really are. I thank you, Jesus.